Good morning, everyone. Shall we pray before we look at the passage before us? Father, we thank you for your word. Thank you, Lord, that your word is truth. And we pray, Lord, because we know that we can't understand it rightly without your help. And so we ask, Lord, for your that you would give us a spirit of wisdom and knowledge, that the eyes of our hearts will be opened to see and to understand and to be able to grasp these truths. We pray, Lord, also that your spirit will write it on our hearts, and that you would incline us to walk according to these truths. We pray and we ask this in your Son's name. Amen. I'd like to ask you all if you have any goals. Do you have any goals in life? Maybe something you want to achieve. Maybe you're saving up for something to buy. Maybe you plan, maybe it's with your studies, you plan to do a certain course, or maybe it's work related. By the end of the year, you'd like to work in a different area. Do you have certain goals for your life? I think all of us have different goals. Maybe sometimes we may not really think about it too much when we're younger, but as we grow older, then there are certain things that we want to achieve, certain things that we want to do, things that you may want to check off your to-do list. Today, I want to suggest that there is a big goal, a bigger goal in life, and that the goal of life is knowing Jesus Christ. So the big goal of life for each one of us is actually knowing Jesus Christ. We will be going through the passage, if you can keep your Bibles open. We see that in chapter 3, verse 7. It's Paul's ambition and Paul's pursuit, and this is what he says. But whatever were gains to me, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. What is more, I consider everything a loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. See, Paul says that the most important thing, the thing that is of most value to him, he says it's surpassing worth, of infinite worth, is knowing Jesus Christ. So that's his ambition, his pursuit. That's his big goal in life. And I want to suggest that that is to be our goal as well, knowing Jesus Christ. So if knowing Jesus is of prime importance, what does it mean to know Jesus? We want to look at that today. If I can get the first slide. What does it mean to know Jesus? Oh, it looks different at the back. Okay, cool. Okay, so I'm going to make a few points. And the first thing is, to know Jesus is to trust him for your right standing with God. I read verse 8. That I may gain Christ, and verse 9, and be found in him, not having a righteousness, a right standing with God, of my own that comes from law, from observing the law, but that which is through faith, to trusting in Christ, the righteousness that comes from God on the basis of faith. Christianity is different from all other religions. All other religions say there is something that you have to do to make you right with God. So the basis of the assurance that we are right with God is based on your performance, what you do. But Christianity is different. It is based on what Jesus has done, what Jesus has accomplished by his perfect life and his death on the cross. So it's not based on what we do. It is based on what Jesus has done. So Paul says he had, in his past life, related to God based on what he was doing. And he lists out all the his accomplishments, all the things that he was proud of. Let me read. So he had many reasons to think or to be confident that he was right with God because of the things that he was doing. So let me read that. I was circumcised on the eighth day, so from verse 5, of the people of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews, in regard to the law, a Pharisee, as for zeal, persecuting the church, as for righteousness based on the law, faultless. So Paul is saying that these Gentiles who want to be part of God's people, they might think that for them to be part of God's people, they have to become Jews. They have to get circumcised. They have to follow these Jewish laws. Paul is saying, I've been there. I've done it. It doesn't work. That's not how we get right with God. We get right with God on the basis of what Jesus has done. So let me ask you, this is more personal for you yourself. If you think that because you attend youth group on Friday, because you never committed any major sin, and because you go to church regularly, that's why you are right with God, then you are actually trusting in what you do. It is based on your effort, your performance. But if a person says that he knows that he does not live a good life, he knows that he is falling short of God's perfect standard, and he knows that it is only because of God's mercy that he is accepted by God, then he is trusting in what Jesus has done. So who are you trusting this morning? Are you trusting in your performance? Or are you trusting in what Jesus has done? So my first point is this. To know Jesus is to trust in what Jesus has done. To trust him for your right standing before God. Okay, my next point. Point number two. Knowing Jesus is about knowing his resurrection power. Let me read verse 10. I want to know Christ. I want to know Christ. And then it explains in what way. Yes, to know the power of his resurrection. When Paul speaks of the power of his resurrection, he is speaking about the power that rose Jesus from the dead. Jesus was dead, and then on the third day he rose from the dead. That takes like an enormous power, to the power that conquered death and sin and raised him from the dead. So when Paul says, I want to know the power of his resurrection, he's talking about that power. In Ephesians 1 verse 19, it explains that this power is incomparably great power, is at work in Christians, in believers. And it's working us in us to make us a place fitting for Christ to dwell. It's working in us to make us, to enable us to grasp the limitless dimensions of God's love. When Paul prays in Ephesians 3, 14 to 19, he says, I pray that you will have power so that you can understand how much God loves you. It's quite phenomenal, isn't it? That to even understand the limitless love of God, we need God's power to understand it. Isn't that amazing? I find that amazing. Okay. That power is also written in Colossians 1 verse 11 and 12. It says, this power strengthens us so that we can have endurance and patience and live lives characterized by thanksgiving. So for us to persevere as a Christian, for us to live a life that's pleasing to God, we need God's power. And so Paul is saying, I want to know this power so that I can live a life pleasing to God, that I can live and persevere in my faith. So that is the power that he's talking about. It's the power that enables us to understand God. It's the power that helps us to experience his reality in our lives. And so Paul says, I want to know the power of his resurrection. Okay, the third thing, knowing Jesus is about sharing in his suffering. Sharing in his suffering. Here again is the word sharing in his suffering. The word used is the word fellowship or partnership, which is found in chapter 1. And Paul says, to know Jesus is to identify with him in his suffering, to participate in his suffering. So we know Jesus by experiencing the sufferings that just like Jesus suffered. In chapter 1, verse 29, Paul had written to the Philippian Christian, and he said this, "For it has been granted to you on behalf of Christ not only to believe in him, but also to suffer for him." So if you read the sentence, what he's saying is, if you are believing in Jesus, it has been granted to you. That means it is a blessing. It is a privilege for you to have trust in Jesus, faith in Jesus. And he's then also saying, for you to suffer in the same way is a privilege and a blessing. We don't normally think of suffering in that way, isn't it? We think suffering is like, oh, get away from me. Because suffering is not easy. It's painful. It's challenging. And I think it's normal to want to run away from the hard things, from hardship and suffering. But Paul is saying, part of knowing Jesus involves identifying with his suffering. So suffering is something that is granted to us as a blessing and a privilege. Not because we are sadomasochistic kind of a people who beat ourselves and in that manner, but in the way that this is how we get to know Jesus. As we participate in his suffering, we get to know him better. So there's a bigger goal. If we get the big goal, then we are willing to suffer because it is for the sake of Christ. It is for the sake of knowing Christ we are willing to suffer, because knowing Christ is so surpassingly great, so that I am happy or willing to suffer, to embrace suffering. So don't think that Paul enjoyed suffering. Suffering is painful. Suffering is difficult. But Paul understood that his master, Isaiah 53:3 says, was a man of sorrows and familiar with suffering. So part of knowing Jesus is to walk in his footsteps. It is follow him, taking up the cross, denying ourselves, dying daily, identifying with Jesus. So we know him by becoming like him in his death. I guess we want to make sure that we understand it rightly. Jesus' death was unique. We are not Jesus. He was sinless. We are sinful. His death was for the whole world as a substitutionary atonement. We're not following him in that way. We come on, man. Let's be realistic. We are not sinless, and we are not. Our death is not substitutionary atonement. But it's saying that the attitude that Jesus had is the same attitude that we should have, the same mindset. And this is mentioned in chapter 2. In chapter 2, we see that Christ, who was in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be held on to. But he made himself nothing, taking the nature of a servant. So what does it mean to have that mindset? Means to say that I will not hold on to power. I will not hold on to position. I will not hold on to reputation. I will not hold on to my status. I will not hold on to all the things that make me proud of my achievements, the things that I can boast in. I am willing to let that go to become like Jesus. I'm willing to let that go for the sake of serving others, to have the mindset of Christ. He was God, but he became human. He was God, he became a servant for the sake of others. So that, having that mindset, letting go in order to serve others for the sake of Christ. And so Jesus let go of his position, his glory, his power to become human, to become a servant, to serve others for their benefit. And so Paul then gives this as a model for us to have that kind of way of thinking. It's a way of thinking. Paul says in chapter 2, verse 3, "Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, consider others better than yourselves, not looking to your own interests, but each of you to the interest of others." So in our relationships with one another, we are to have that mindset that Jesus had. And that's a kind of suffering, isn't it? It is a kind of suffering because it's not easy. It is not easy to think like this. I think our human nature is such that we want to protect our interests, our rights, our status, our reputation. We want to look good, like all these things. But Jesus humbled himself, taking the nature of a servant to serve others. And so we want to have this mindset. And having this mindset is participating in the sufferings of Jesus. It's one way of participating in the sufferings of Jesus. Mark 10:45 is a good verse. It says, "The Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many." So that was Jesus' mindset. He came not that we serve him, but he came to serve us. And so for us to have the same mindset. It's interesting, Paul, when he writes Philippians, had known Jesus for almost 30 years. And yet he says, "My goal, my ambition is to know him." Not that he doesn't know him, but to know him more and more and more. Because Jesus is God, and knowing God is big, he's huge. There's lots of God to know. So in chapter 3, verse 12, he says this, "Not that I have already obtained all of this, or I've already arrived at my goal, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. One thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining towards what is ahead, I press on towards the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus." So Paul is not satisfied with his past, like all that he knew of Jesus already. He knew Jesus, but he's saying, "I'm not satisfied with that. I'm going on. This is the goal, pursuing Jesus, knowing Jesus more and more and more." And he says, it's for us. Look at chapter 3, verse 15. "All of us who are mature should take such a view." So we shouldn't be content about our past amount of knowing God. We should be pursuing knowing God more and more. So to be mature is not to be content with our current knowledge of God. It is to want more. And how do we know God? Trusting in Christ's righteousness. Knowing God is about knowing the power of his resurrection. Knowing God is about sharing in his sufferings. That's the hard one, isn't it? Sharing in his sufferings. Identifying with Jesus. But we do it because we want to know Jesus more. So we're not suffering for the sake of suffering. We're suffering because as we participate in Christ's suffering, we know Jesus more. So we want to know Jesus, and so we're willing to suffer, to identify with him. And notice that it's not just a head knowledge, it says becoming like him. So it's about being transformed as we take up our cross and as we follow him. So to know Jesus is being transformed by Jesus. Slowly, of course, it's slowly, isn't it? It's very slowly. You take one step forward, two steps back, and hopefully three steps in front. If not, you end up backwards. So it's a very slow process, isn't it? And But I guess an important thing is, how do we have a mindset about suffering? Because I think we all run away from suffering, and that's normal. But if we know that we want to know Jesus, then we are willing to take on some suffering in the process of knowing him. So what does that look like? It's all this nice theory. What does that look like? If someone at school is bad to you, knowing Jesus means your initial response is you want to slap the person. But knowing Jesus means you are willing to turn the other cheek. Say, you're willing to take on some suffering. You're willing to take the nature of a servant. And you do it not because you like someone being bad with you, but you do it because you want to know Jesus. So to identify when Jesus was hurled, abused, when Jesus was beaten, you understand what that means because you have gone through it in your experience. Knowing Jesus by participating, identifying in his suffering, then you know what it means to be part of that fellowship in Christ, in his sufferings. Okay. Let's pray together. Father, we all struggle in this area. Lord, we do want to know you more. Pray that you would help us to have this mindset, that we can see the challenges that come our way, the different things that life throws at us, and help us, Lord, to see things through your eyes. Help us, Lord, also to be able to realize that these are opportunities for us to know you better. So, Lord, help us to view our daily challenges, our daily struggles as opportunities to know you better. Lord, give us the grace to participate in your suffering. Help us to deny our natural selfish natures and selfish impulses. And help us, Lord, to take the nature of a servant, to humble ourselves, to seek the good of the other person. Lord, give us wisdom to know what that means in different situations. We pray this, Lord, because we know that knowing you is of surpassing value and worth. And so we want to know you better. Lord, we pray also for those of us who do not know you or may not have the desire to know you. Lord, we pray that you would put it in us, Lord. We ask for your Spirit to do that in Jesus' name. Amen.